North Rock Podcast.
Good morning. How are you? Blessed. Good. I'm happy to hear that. I am, just a second, let me get situated. Okay. Hi. I always love when I get an opportunity to be here with you guys. I was telling the first service, I always am excited when I get an opportunity to speak because it gets me focused on like one specific topic and kind of dive into it more than what I typically do in my own personal devotions. Or the other thing, which is more what is going to happen today, is that God speaks in echoes to me. I think he speaks in that way to all of us, like just kind of a reoccurring theme underscore that can happen over a period of time. And so, you know, it's easy to kind of just, oh yeah, God's been saying that to me lately. Or, you know, you hear people say things like that. For me, when I get to speak, it's like, ooh, yeah, God's been saying this. And it's like almost like putting a stamp on it. Like, okay, this is, I'm recognizing how all of these strings come together and how it all works. And so that's this morning for me. Like, I get an opportunity to kind of include you into this story that God's been doing in my life in the last couple of months. And hopefully it has, you know, purpose for you. Oh, no, it is. It's a word from God. So we're good. It's not me. So anyways, let's go ahead and pray just for real quick here. Father God, I thank you for this group of people. I thank you for an opportunity to come together, to share the testimonies in our life, to celebrate how you work with us, to rest in your presence, and to grow together as a community. I pray that the words that I am sharing today, that if anything's of me, God, just let that fall away. And I pray that, Holy Spirit, if this is something that you're working in others' lives as well as my own, that you would begin to illuminate that and show us how you are working in us. In Jesus' name, amen. So for the last 4 weeks, we've been camped out in the book of Psalms. Whoa. I need to figure out my spacing here. The last 4 weeks, we've been, you know, kind of camped out in Psalms, going through our sermon series called Selah. Pastor Andrew shared a couple of weeks ago that Selah means, it's a musical term. It's mainly found in the Psalms. We don't actually know what it means. I mean, we're, you know, but what we think it means and how it's typically translated is it's a musical theme. Stop and listen. Pause. Take notice of what's being said here. So we'd like to do that each August. We like to stop and listen and take notice of what God is saying to us as a church as we go through the Psalms together. If you have missed any of those over the last 4 weeks, definitely head to northrockchurch.com. All of the previous sermons are there. We've got a couple from Andrew and one from Ed and one from Daniel. And just, I would encourage you to just listen to what God's been talking to us about as a church body if you miss them. This week, I am going to be talking about decisions. Have you ever had trouble making a decision? Or is there a decision that you know you need to make in your life right now that you're kind of putting off making that decision? There's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of reasons why this can happen in your life. Definitely grief, change of life. But I think the biggest reason that we can wrestle with indecision is feeling overwhelmed and the anxiety that can accompany that. Not knowing what to do next and feeling overwhelmed and anxious about that idea. Even the most grounded people can come into that decision fatigue area. When the circumstances are just right. So I want to talk to you about that this morning. I want to invite you to stop and listen with me as we look at what God is saying about that. And I want to share with you a story about my recent experience with unexpected overwhelm and show you a question that God has revealed to me that's been helping with that, been helping in making decisions and moving forward. I want to start by talking about the hustle. And this is capitalized because it's a proper verb or proper noun. This is it's a significant thing. It's the hustle, right? So it is when everything inside of you, when your emotion, when your will, when your feelings are all charged up and amped up and feeling rushed inside. It's this like frenetic race to keep up with other people's expectations, with your own expectations, or all of those shoulds. So everybody else have shoulds, right? Like that's also capitalized, right? Because it's significant. All of the, I should be married by now. I should have kids by now. I should own a home. I should have a better budget. I should be eating better. I should be working out. I should go to school. I should change my job. I should. They go on. Never end. You finish a should, there's another one that comes up, right? They never end. So this is the hustle. And I think that it deserves a movie. How you feeling? Ready to take on the world? Feeling motivated? No? Feeling like you're going to have like a nervous breakdown? Yeah, that's the hustle. I struggle with the hustle. I was telling people after the last service, that's a movie of my brain. That's like, going all the time, all the motivational thoughts. You can do it. It's fear alone that's keeping you back. You're holding yourself back. You're just not trying hard enough. You don't want it long enough. Ugh. That's my brain when I'm on my own. God help anyone around me. I was talking to my mentor the other day. I was laying out my plans for the coming season. And she goes, "You're a visionary." And she's a really nice lady. So I think that was her bless her your heart way of saying you're crazy and you need to slow down the idea machine. I'm going to take it as positive, but I really do think she, you know, she's like, oh, you're a visionary. You know, you get caught in this. You get all riled up into it, right? And then it's like, oh, but where do I start? What decision do I make? I have so many things on my to-do list that I need to do. I have so many projects. I have so many ideas. And I have so much that I'm being told I need to be and do. And it can cause anxiety. It can cause overwhelm. And then you get stuck at Starbucks going, I don't know what to order right now because this is too much of a decision for me. I don't know which to choose. What if it's a caramel macchiato day and I choose to get a toffee nut latte instead? Should I do hot or cold? What's the weather outside? How am I going to feel later? Am I going to sweat? You know, like, come on. What should I wear to order my Starbucks? This anxiety, this fear, it gets all caught up in this cloud of like non-specificity. You don't actually know why you've got what is it you're anxious about or what's happening. It's just that over. I know for me, it just sits back there, and I've gotten so used to it that I kind of ignore it sometimes. And then that's exactly where fear wants me to be, right? Because I don't move. Because when you worry about something, you feel like your brain, I learned this. When you worry about something, your brain checks it off as you've done something with that. You haven't actually done something with it, but you've thought about it. So you feel, got it. But then it still sits there in your brain of, I got to figure this out. So it comes back later. You know, our brain, we have short-term memory. So if you want to look into this more, there's a really great book called Get Stuff Done. I love it, about brain dumping and all this thing. But that's our brains naturally created to like make us remember things if we haven't securely put it somewhere to think about it later. So you worry about it. You think, oh, I did something. It goes away for a little bit, and then it comes back because you didn't actually do anything about it. So the fear keeps you from moving forward. It keeps you from making a decision, right? You have to name it. You have to say, I'm feeling anxious right now. Because if you don't, it's going to keep you from doing what you want to do. And it's also going to make you do what you don't want to do. So you have to, like, I'm feeling anxious. I'm worried that if I make this decision, it's going to affect me this way or that way. I'm worried that what will people think about me? I'm anxious about, am I choosing poorly? How will it impact me down the road? What's going to happen if I do this? What if I wanted iced coffee? It works both ways, you know? So I have been wrestling with this for the last couple of months, specifically. It's been interesting. Like, people kept saying, how are you? I'm like, yeah, you don't want to ask me that question right now. Because, you know, everybody, you're supposed to just say fine or good. You know, like, that's the socially acceptable thing to say. And then I'm like, I am a nervous breakdown mess right now. I am not doing okay. And thankfully, I'm saying this to safe people and not just, you know, the cashier at King Soopers. You know, I have people that are like, I am a mess. And they're like, why? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong. Like, my life is fine. Yeah, we're stressed. Josh and I just came out of one of the busiest times at our work. You know, we had this huge, so busy, so much overtime, so crazy, so much people mad at us. That's normal. I mean, my kids are starting a new school, but I mean, so I can recognize we're stressed, we're busy, there's things happening, but really not to this level, not to like, so 2 weeks ago I went to Target, and I walked into Target, and I felt like I went, and Josh saw me, and he was like, what's going on? I was like, I'm feeling a little, my legs are shaky. So then I held on to the cart, you know, because we still got things to do. So I'm pushing the cart so mom doesn't fall down. We got all the kids. I'm walking through Target. My legs are feeling weak. I'm starting to feel blurry, like my vision's getting blurry, which for me, I get migraines, and I've been getting them a lot lately, which, yeah, another thing my body's probably telling me that I'm anxious about something. So my chest gets tight. My heart starts beating really fast. I break out in a cold sweat. I'm starting to feel like I'm going to pass out. We're all the way at the back of Target at this point. And I look at Josh. I'm like, I have to sit down. I had a full-blown panic attack in Target. This is not my normal Target-going behavior. I don't usually have panic attacks in Target. So we're sitting back there, and thank goodness all of the summer stuff was on sale so we could sit in the lawn chairs. I've got me and my whole family sitting in lawn chairs while mom's having a panic attack in Target. Who knows why? Josh is like, how can I help you? What do you need? What's going on? I'm like, because he's, you know, the best husband ever. And I'm like, I don't know what is wrong with me right now, but I am not okay. And I don't know how to fix it. So we got out of Target. We sat until I calmed down, and I was doing breathing as exercise, like pregnancy breathing, like labor breathing, like in through the mouth, out through the nose. You know, we're going to get this thing over with, right? So we go home, and the other thing I've had in the back of my mind, not only have I had this anxiety cloud hanging, but I've had this echo. Remember I was talking about the echoes. I've had this echo of this invitation from God. And I know I just preached about the Sabbath. So I have been having Sabbath. But there's been this deeper, like, Psalms. And this isn't my Psalm that I'm preaching on today, but I like the Psalms. So I can talk about other ones. It says, deep calls to deep. The deep inside of me was calling out for God. Like, I knew I needed more. You know, like, I knew this, I need something more. But I was like, I mean, I told you, we had just got through the busiest time. And I was like, God, you know. But when things slow down, when I catch up, I know I need to do this. I know I need some time to, this reoccurring idea of, you need to sit, you need to listen, you need to be still, you need to be still is something God says to me a lot. You know, and I didn't. And then I, like, lost it. I thought, okay, I need to figure out how to escape this hustle. So how do we escape the hustle? And I got this, I was listening to this podcast and there was this question. And she said, am I being led by love or pushed by fear? That's how we make decisions. That's how we know what the right thing is to do. How do we move forward? Am I being led by love or am I being pushed by fear? Is it the hustle? Is it the fear of missing out? The fear of it not being right? The fear of not having it perfect? The fear of making the wrong choice that's keeping me from doing things or making me do things? Or is it love? And I liked that question, but then I still was like, how do I know that I'm being led by love? So that called to mind this verse, and this is what I'm preaching out of today. There's a psalm for that, and it has its own movie also. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. Did I skip one? Nope. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Psalm 121. So Psalm 120 through 134, these psalms are called the Songs of Ascent or the Pilgrim Psalms. I like that they're for sojourners. They're for people on a journey. They were intentionally made short enough to be memorized. They have an intentional pattern and step system to allow you to remember them, like children's songs, how they build on one another. They're made like that. They're full of themes of everyday life, and they're full of themes of people on a journey to Jerusalem. They're for people on their way to God, traveling, dirty, dusty, tired, hot, hungry. Tired. Did I say tired? Tired. Are we there yet, God? How much longer, God? How many more miles? They are meant to be a reminder as you're traveling on your journey that God is with you, that God is the provider, that he watches over you. He is your watch guard. He is your keeper. He keeps your soul. He quiets the hustle. He doesn't hustle. In the midst of difficult and uncertain situations, we are able to affirm hope and faith in God's concern, even though the situation is one of uncertainty and exertion. So, I like this psalm. And I thought of it when I was in the throes of my panic attack. And I decided that I could not wait for the world to slow down enough for me to pause and listen. I was never going to catch up. So I went to the mountains the next day. I was like, okay, enough. Woo, body's telling me something. Time to go. So, our family recently discovered Gross Reservoir. I grew up in Washington. I've lived in Washington, California since we got out here. I've missed water. I always would go to the beach or to the Puget Sound or something when I needed to calm down and it was my peaceful, quiet place. So when we found this, I was like, oh, like angel singing. There's water. It's big. I love it. So, I decided I'd go up there by myself. So, and I was still in the throes of the hustle, people. I packed my journal, my Bible, a legal notepad so I could do notes for sermon prep, a workbook that we're going through as a staff, my planner in case I wanted to strategize my life in the time I was supposed to be listening to God. And then I have this little thing of watercolor papers and some watercolors that I always like to pretend I'm an artist. So I grabbed those and put those in. And I was like ready to do the business of listening to God. And I drove up there. I made sure I would survive in the wilderness. I grabbed a giant bottle of water and I got a bag of gummy bears in case I was stranded. And then I drove up there. I texted Josh before I lost, you know, signal saying I'm not dead. I'm okay. I'm up here by myself. I was trying to intentionally find a secluded place. I found a really good place that was just secluded enough to make me feel like I was on my own, but not secluded enough that I would feel like I was going to be murdered. I got up there. I found this like picnic table and I'm like, great, this is enough space for me to spread out all my things. So I sat at the picnic table. I got all this stuff laid out and then I sat there and I was like, okay, God, I'm listening. I'm ready. Tell me the answers. Tell me the decisions. Direct me. I'm listening. You told me to listen. What are you going to say? Nothing. There was nothing. There was, and Josh isn't here. I always say this wrong, cicadas, right? The bug, the big bug that buzzes. Yeah. So those were, there was a couple and they were really loud. Like I've never heard them that loud before. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, what? Like the first one went off and I was like, what is up here with me? There's rattlesnakes. I've got to. So I sat on top of the picnic table in case snakes or critters would decide to touch my toes, because I'm very at one with nature. So I'm then sitting on top of the picnic table, like sitting there straddling it, like got all my stuff. And I pull out my journal and I'm like, okay, God's not talking. Maybe I just need to get all the crazy out of my head first. So I sit and I'm like, I'm going to write in my journal because I process things by writing. And then I was like, I started feeling panic. I was like, there's too much. I don't know where to start with this. So I'm not going to journal right now. So then I got out the workbook and I was like, maybe I'll do the workbook. That'll help me. It's got questions I can answer. So I sit there and I'm trying to do the workbook and the wind is blowing the pages all over and the sun was really bright on the paper. So it was hard for me to see. And I was like, well, this isn't working. So I set that aside and I just sat there. I was like, okay. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to sit here for a little bit. And I'm looking around. And then I start watching the bugs. And I'm watching the birds. And then I see the water rippling across the wind rippling across the water and blowing through the bushes. And I start noticing, like, you can see there's shrubs right in front of me and a bunch of, like, those were all blowing. And then there's the water and it was ripply. And there was people down there on boats and paddle boats. Boards and they're laughing and talking and I could hear them. And then across from me, I'm just noticing things. Okay, look, there's boulders and trees. Those are nice. Look at the shapes and how there's different things. And then behind that, you can't really see it very well, but right behind the hills first there, you can see like the darker, like the gray. And that's like one of my favorite things about Colorado. The way the mountains do that when it hits it just right and they turn gray and blue. And I asked the first service, if anybody knows a word that specifically describes that, I want to know it, because if not, I'm going to make one up because I think it's so beautiful it deserves a word. Like it needs to have a descriptive word for just that because it's so pretty. It's like my favorite thing. And then behind that, there's like the clouds and this, you know, I just started noticing. Look at this creation God's made. Look at how big it is. Look at how much there is here. Look at how I'm not necessary in any of this. I don't have to do anything. I just have to sit here and take it in. I got quiet. I pulled out my watercolors and I started painting, trying to capture it, trying to remember that moment. I'm not a watercolorist. I'd like to be. Maybe I'll take a class. But it was just for me. That the activity wasn't the point. It was just being there. It was realigning. I lifted my eyes up to the mountains. I was looking for where my help's coming from. I recognize that there's a maker of all of this who's bigger than me. He doesn't leave me. He goes before me. He stands beside me. He goes behind me. He's watching over me. He shields me. He guards me. He keeps me. So after a couple of hours, I went home. I ran out of gummy bears. I did not hear anything. I didn't hear anything. I didn't need to. That wasn't the point. He wanted me to be aligned. We could stop right there, right? He wanted me. I had to get realigned. I had to get my focus off myself and off the hustle and off the shoulds. And instead, okay, God. Obviously, this is a theme in my life. I told somebody earlier in between services, I think this is like my thorn. Like, I'm going to just have to keep being told to be still and be quiet and be and listen. Because if God were to ever give me a plan, thanks, God. Oh, I forgot you. You know, it's just, I'll probably keep preaching on this for the rest of my life, but I know I'm not alone in that, because people came up and told me after the first service. There was no answer. I was just ready. I was just there. I was just present. I came back down. I felt more real. I felt realigned. Is the main word for me. If you look in Scripture, you'll see that God does this regularly with us. He connects with us, but he doesn't give us a strategy or a plan or... Did you know who made the 5-year plan? Do you know who made it up? Stalin in the 1920s, economic plan, 5-year plan for the Soviet Union, that's where it comes from. I like plans. I love planners. I have Instagram feed full of people's planner pages because I'm crazy. No, because I like it. It's fun. But I hold that plan very loosely because I don't have God knowledge. I don't know. I know nothing. I control nothing. All I can do is be aligned. Okay, God, I'm in the stream. Direct my path. With Abraham, God said, leave your country. With Moses, God said, go talk to Pharaoh. With the Israelites, think about Jeremiah 29:11, the whole verse about, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to fail you. Do you know where they were when that was said to them? They were in exile. Their entire nation had been destroyed. They'd been taken captives as slaves. And it's still God saying to them, I know the plans. And what does he say? His next step, his grand plan at that point? Get rooted where you're at. That was it, just the next step. Jesus does the same thing. When he heals the leper, he says, go to see the priest. When he heals the paralytic, he says, pick up your mat and go. When he raises Jairus' daughter from the dead, he tells her parents, feed her some food. That's it. Go get the girl some food. Next step. So I didn't come away with a grand plan. I didn't necessarily come away with even full answers. But I know when I'm going to make a decision that I can, if I'm led by love, I can take the next step. So name the fears, right? To recap, name that thing and move past it. I am feeling anxious about this. I don't need to because God, right? Seek God without an agenda. Just seek him. And he promises when we seek him, we'll find him, right? And then just do what's next. Maybe what's next is to wait. It could be. So I want to read something, pray it. It's a benediction. It's from an author named Emily Freeman. I want to pray this over you guys today. And so we turn our eyes to the one who walks with us and lives within us, unbound by time or place or gravity. You go ahead of us into an unknown future. You walk toward us with love in your eyes. You stand beside us when we find ourselves in unsure places. You sit next to us in silence and in joy. You watch behind us to protect our minds from regret. You live within us and lead from a quiet place. When you speak with gentleness, may we not ignore you. When you direct with nudges, may we move with ease. When you declare your love for us, may we refuse to squirm away. When you offer good gifts, may we receive them with gratitude. When you delay the answers, may we wait with hope. We resist the urge to sprint ahead in a hurry or lag behind in fear. Let us keep company with you at a walking pace, moving forward together one step at a time. That's my prayer for you this morning, that you're led by love in the decisions you need to make at the pace that God is walking with you. If you're here and you're saying, I don't know Jesus, or I don't know this type of life, I'm caught in the hustle, I'm caught in the frenzy, I want that in my life, I would invite you to pray a prayer with us that we pray every week. It's an opportunity to ask Jesus into your life, to allow him to be the director, to allow him to lead you and to move forward with him at his pace. So if everybody could stand, let's pray it together. If this is your first time praying it, please come and talk to me. We have a yes packet that we can give to you to help you as you begin this journey. All right, so that is it for this week. I pray over you guys that, Lord God, give them peace. Lord God, help them to turn their eyes to you, to the mountains. Help them to know where their help comes from. Help us all, God, to be aligned to you, to seek your face, to name the fears we're dealing with, God, and to be able to have the courage and boldness to take the next step. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.